This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
All right, we're back here with Eric Semmel from Tab Computer. Computer Talk with Tab, Saturdays 9 to 11 here on WTIC. I guess Jerry's going to stick around. he can leave if he wants. It's sunny out. That's all I'm going to tell you.
It's getting warmer because yeah. It is.
So what Eric does is he finds a couple of interesting pieces that he thinks will be illuminating to our audience. Then we talk about them, and he puts them in a certain order, and I sometimes don't want to go in the order he sends me, although I don't know that's the order you need to talk about them.
Not at all.
But, you know, I have three teenagers, and I think about, you know, all these things they're trying to restrict, social media and this and that. And I'm like, well, all this is well and good, but if you can't enforce it or figure out how to enforce it, it doesn't matter. And kids have workarounds. But Utah's trying to get at it from a verification standpoint, from the actual apps themselves.
Right. The app store. That where you'd get the app.
So you can't even access the store unless you're a certain age, or you can't download the app unless you're a certain age?
You can't download certain apps unless you're a certain age, right? So you have to verify you, the user, are of a certain age.
But is it like, are you 18? I'm like, yeah.
Well, they got to verify that, right? So they could, you know, the way they're going to do it, we'll have to see how they're going to actually do it. Obviously, if you have a credit card in your own name, you're obviously 18. There's all sorts of ways to do that. You can get parents involved, too. If parents want to say, hey, here's your phone, kid. I'm going to tell them that you're 14. simple as that. And if you want the phone, you're going to have to do that. So having age verification in Utah is a good step. And there's lots of other states that have tried it and it's failed.
So why does it fail?
Well, because again, they have so much pushback from the app providers, right?
Oh, they actually didn't approve it. It's not like they tried to implement it and it failed.
What kind of apps are they targeting?
Well, social media apps. Porn, obviously, but social media apps and all those other things.
Are there porn apps?
I don't know. Why are you looking at me?
yes, and there's access to that as well. So
there are apps.
I would think so. I'm going to say simply yes because the internet was pretty much built on porn, but we won't go there.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, I think it's important
stuff. I haven't checked, Jerry, frankly.
There is a song about that on Avenue Q.
I believe it.
I would like to think that, because I do think a lot of restrictions on this stuff for our young people is a positive thing.
It has to be done. And nowadays, it really has to be done. And if we care about the children, everything's done for the children, we at least should do this. Yeah. So we'll see what Utah does.
So, you know, if you listen to the show regularly, you know how Eric feels about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And so he has a little bit of we had a big conversation this morning about independence and how that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have an opinion or whatever. I mean, but you pick articles that I think feed your narrative.
Of course.
Yes. And so you got two more AI stories this week. And what do you got?
Well, obviously there's one talking about AI deciding moral decisions for like kidney transplants. And would you want AI making decisions?
But who is doing that? Is that actually happening?
No, it's not happening. But it was a question that was pondered by university folks to see if we could have AI make these decisions for us. And if we live through COVID, if you remember the times where, hey, you didn't get the shot, they shouldn't work on your heart issue because you're not worth being worked on. That moral narrative was being spewed during COVID because of how how we felt. So if you can figure out a way to have AI become disconnected from those types of biases that come up, you talk about biases, right? Then maybe you could get a better result. But most people would agree AI would not right now be the entity you'd want deciding who gets a kidney and who doesn't.
And does the other piece involve the AI is only as good as the info that it accesses?
Well, of course that's the case. But this is, again, a moral question. So it had a bunch of questions, right? Years of life expected to be gained from the transplant, number of dependents, obesity level, weekly
So they're literally
work
gauging whether you're worth saving.
Of course. Yeah, actually, buddies of mine always talk about,
After hearing that, I'm going to go out and buy a plot.
Well, that's how these decisions are made, right? That's how it's being made now, I would think. Or what are the decisions being made by the humans that are saying, well, you get a kidney and you don't? Mm. I mean, who's making those decisions? So AI, the hope of AI is to alleviate bias, but it is still, it's still a biased system because the inputs are from biased people.
Well, it's like, to me, it gets into like, if it's the healthcare companies running it, it's different than like a third party, because the insurance companies, they love the old people because they're there all the time and they're charging them for everything that they get and every service that they get. I have elderly parents and it's unbelievable how much is spent on healthcare relative to me and my children. It is unbelievable the difference.
I agree.
And their my point is their goal is to maximize profit. So if that's involved in this matrix, then it would be problematic.
I would contend, though, that again, I'm not an insurance expert, but spending the insurance folks are not that happy about spending all the money they're spending on older people because they get less money from Medicare and Medicaid to do that, right? So it's actually the commercial business that makes all the money.
Yeah.
So they'd want to give us a kidney, but if you're past that, maybe not. I famously remember Robert Reich saying, just give him a pill. That was his solution to kill him. Kill the older folks. Just let them die peacefully.
That's the way I want to go. As soon as I can't, hang around with you fine folks, I'm going to take that pill.
We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, AI is still
Jerry's
young.
Like, this Eric Semmel's a dark dude.
This is taking a turn that I didn't expect.
It's just technology, right? This is the things we're dealing with going forward.
He's Eric Semmel. You can listen to him. Saturdays 9 to 11 here on WTIC, unless he takes the pill.
Not yet. Too young.
Computer Talk with Tab. He takes your calls. It's a really great program. The other thing is it really legit that in New Zealand they had a multi-billion dollar healthcare system that literally relied on just an Excel spreadsheet?
I mean, the fact that you have to ask the question, knowing what we went through in Connecticut.
It was a leading question, but yes.
We had the Yaleys figuring out that we didn't know how to manage money in Connecticut for 45 years. It shouldn't surprise you, right? So New Zealand's public health system uses a single spreadsheet to manage $16 billion U.S. dollars worth of a budget. And, of course, they blew through their budget. They said they'd only use 23.24 billion Aki dollars, and they blew right through it because, of course, you can't use a spreadsheet to manage that kind of money. And they still had 6,000 applications for the organization. So they had about, one application for every 16 staffers, but not an application to manage the system's money? Again, it goes back to, do you care if you're in government about what you're spending?
Right.
And this
for me,
is
I couldn't even get that. I wouldn't even apply because I can't even do Excel.
I
can't either.
Yeah. And you put your cursor in the wrong spot, and before
it's over.
You spend $3 billion.
I would have blown out the whole thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just, again, breathtaking and sad. And it's it's just crazy.
And true. It's sad, but true.
It's the year 2025, and they're using a spreadsheet to manage a $16 billion organization.
Like, yeah, going back to the 90s. Eric, it's always good to see you. You can hang out for a little bit if you
like. Yeah, sure.
Obviously, Tab Computers and Computer Talk with Tab Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.